Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
So we have lively talk on tax stuff, and it kind of leads into the that. Housing, and you want to mention a few more things?
Oh, yeah, a few more things here. I mean,
affordable housing overlay.
As Dennis Carlone and others mentioned, the discussion about the whole way in which city manages tax rates and whatever, they're actually going to do some dog and pony shows to sort of help explain these things for people who are interested.
Yeah, which is
at some point,
important.
Even if it's after they do the bond issuance after January, but
it would help.
I think it's helpful. And
I mean, they send out a newsletter and stuff, but it can get pretty.
Yeah, more people need to sort of learn it about this as well. There's just one last thing I wanted to mention about the affordable housing overlay plan that's being floated. Yeah, I mean, it's before Envision Cambridge. It's been in front of the Housing Committee.
It's been in front of a million
definitely within city staff.
The Cambridge Port had, I couldn't go to it, but they presented there.
They're making the rounds around the city, giving presentations of these so-called scenarios.
Right.
And it's three things. One is the affordable housing overlay. The other one has to do with
super
inclusionary. And another one was sort of an environmental beneficial, an incentive for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what I heard, interesting thing to me from one of the city councilors, who was mentioning that a planning board member actually spoke about the housing overlay as it is currently proposed and made the point that even if you think that the proposal is targeted exclusively for nonprofit housing developers to build 100% affordable housing at up to 4 times the density that would otherwise be allowed, the fact that according to at least one member of the planning board, they felt that any developer could just come in and say, well, you can't pick and choose. I want to develop the property, and that's that. And if the zoning had been changed to permit it, I think that they could take it to court and they could pretty much say, under the current zoning, I'm allowed to build to that density too.
Yeah, but if you change the zoning, isn't that the whole point of the zoning overlay?
The thing is that right now they can't build to quadruple density.
No, I know that.
Nobody could.
Right, because.
Right, without a variance. But the thing is, if you pass a law that says that some people can, even if they are doing the Lord's work, then.
Oh, so you can't designate a certain group to benefit from it? Is that what they're saying?
That's right. So then there becomes a point where you would make a pretty simple legal case to argue that you can't pick and choose, and I want to do it too. And the way it's written, I think it's very, very questionable. So anyway, they may try and fix that in some way, but honestly,
I'm going to ask a simple question. Can the city say, okay, we have this area and it can only development can be for affordable housing? Can they say that?
All right, so then that would be different than creating an overlay. So the thing is, could you, for example,
designate certain.
Like right now, there's resident one, resident two, resident three.
Oh, so you could change what you can build in some of those zones.
Right, so you could restrict use. Now, I don't know that you can designate a residential zone and say the only housing that's allowed
to
be here is that.
I bet that would involve state involvement or something.
Yes, right. So,
home rule petitions or something.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is this is a state's pretty clear about, you can under the zoning code, which dates back to the 1920s, originally it was you can set this residence here, industrial here, commercial there,
mixed.
Open space here, mixed, right?
Okay.
Okay. And then they started refining it, so it's residence C, residence B, residence C1, residence.
Uh-huh.
So you can distinguish it, but it's based on characteristics, things like, is it multifamily allowed, right?
Yeah.
And most of us, well, I don't know most of us, but a lot of us feel multifamily housing should be permitted in all zones.
Mm.
But in a residence A, can't do it. Residence B, you can.
Give me an example. What's residence A? Is that West Cambridge?
Well,
Brattle Street?
Well, remember, West Cambridge is not one monolithic thing.
Okay, all right. I shouldn't say West Cambridge.
But
I should
say
off
we would
of Brattle
sort of
Street.
Kind of loosely call Brattle Street, right?
Okay, all right.
But it's not just Brattle Street.
But is that residence
it's
A?
It's the sort of biggest states.
Right.
That's res A, yeah.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, I think Res B, you tend to find larger lots, so it's pretty low density.
Mm-hmm.
So you find a lot of those places out, maybe Strawberry Hill or some parts of West Cambridge. If you swing around to places like mid-Cambridge, you find a lot of residence C1, which basically is really where you see a lot of triple-deckers, for example.
You see some apartment buildings that are like 10, 20 units,
right?
Well,
the thing is, there was a period of time,
older
think, when the population of Cambridge was dropped and the tax taxable properties were everything was caving in, there was a big incentive to create, to incentivize, they wanted to incentivize apartment buildings. So there were old mansard roof buildings that used to exist lining all of Harvard Street, for example.
And they were taken down?
And they were torn down to create these boxes.
Right.
Right?
Now, well, there's a lot of apartments around where the library and where the Harvard Art Museum is.
Right. So the thing is that, so, you know, I think it would be not a bad thing to consider is creating apartment building zones lining some of the corridors, which is a little bit what Envision is talking about.
Exactly, right?
Is saying that maybe that's not such a bad thing.
I mean, it's already happening. You go up to Porter Square, you see it. You go to Broadway.
Well, but the thing is,
in
Porter Square, there's a certain, there's densities that are allowable in Porter Square.
True.
But if you look at all of Mass Ave from Harvard going out to Porter, there were a lot of like six-story, seven-story buildings
Harvard
that were
going out to Porter.
Yeah, lining up. They were. They used to be called hotels.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I see it.
And they were there because they were playing off of the Harvard student crowd.
Right.
You know, the sort of basically not the, you know, the.
And then a lot of them were
the wealthy kids.
But a lot of them were rent controlled too. A lot of those.
Well, when rent control came in, they became rent controlled.
Exactly, right.
And so that was a lot of the rent controlled stock were in a lot of those buildings that originally were
Ware Street, all that whole area there. Yeah.
Right. So the thing is that it's a perfectly plausible thing to consider to say, well, maybe we need to, in, you know, apartment building eyes a few places in the city.
Yeah.
To create a fair amount of supply of housing in those areas.
But then why? But then how do you keep any developer from doing that by having competition with cash for the other developers?
No, honestly, it would be whoever wants to build it would build it. But the thing
is but
the,
you need money. I mean, that's what the woman from the affordable. But it comes down to just having more money to compete against these places.
That's right. Right. But the bigger problem today, I think, is that, and again, see, some people will probably greatly disagree with me about this, but
maybe me.
Right. The bigger problem is just that there's simply an inadequate supply of housing in the entire region.
And entire region.
Now, if you just
where people want to live, you mean?
Right. Now, and I think this Boston metro area mayors group that was they had some announced in the paper today, they're basically saying we all just have to build more housing. Now, does that mean subsidized housing? There'll be a mix of that mixed in, no doubt.
Right.
Okay, but it doesn't mean let's build nothing but subsidized housing. It means we just need more housing.
Right.
You know, if somebody's coming in to get a job in a high-tech industry here, they're not going to be applying for subsidized housing. They're just looking for housing.
Right.
And, you know, there's this, I think it's sometimes done purposefully, is a purposeful confusion made between, you know, the people who say, well, you know, everybody thinks they place in the city surveys, they'll say, we place affordable housing as a high priority. But they misrepresent what people are actually saying.
What do they mean by that? Yeah.
Right. So the thing is, if you're just an average person or family and you're looking for a place to rent or buy within your budget, then you are concerned about the affordability of housing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same as building affordable housing, meaning subsidized housing that you can access only by applying through the housing authority.
It's a word that should be retired.
But
I think subsidized really says what it
is. But there are some people within the housing division of the city's community development department who I think purposefully
like to use
to use this ambiguity because they say everybody wants affordable housing. But that's not the same thing as just building 100% subsidized housing.
Right.
The thing, the city does actually have a significant number of those units. Do we have enough? Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know. I was canvassing, back before the primary, and I was amazed at some of the places I was going to in Porter Square that obviously have a lot of inclusionary units.
But then people in the housing authority say, but we have a waiting list that's, you know,
well, that's true
many people. But then again, if you're looking for housing in the region, you're on Cambridge's waiting list, you're on Somerville's waiting list, you're on Boston's waiting list.
I wonder if we have more per our population and our square miles than some other places.
We do. And there's no question. The thing is that there are a lot of the towns around here are, they call them 40B towns because they don't have an adequate supply of affordable housing. So consequently,
And there's a stigma about it in a lot of those places.
So what happens is somebody says, well, I bought this property, I want to develop it. And they say, I want to do such and such a thing, right? And then the people in the town say, well, we don't want you to build those apartment buildings. They go, well, okay, fine. In that case, I'm going to go seek a comprehensive permit under Chapter 40B, right, which was this so-called snob zoning provision in state law. And then I'm going to put in a lot more housing units, and they're all going to be subsidized units. And then they use it as kind of a wedge, because then people go, well, maybe we're okay with the apartment buildings you were proposing.
So in other words, we'd rather you just do the apartment building than use the word loan.
So the 40B is not always used in the best way, right? Yeah. Sometimes it is. But the thing is that's not an issue in Cambridge, because the only towns for which that's can happen are towns where they have an inadequate, below a certain threshold.
Right.
Cambridge is above the threshold.
Right.
We're probably up around like the 15% range.
Hmm.
You know, and you have to, we're significantly above the range. So so I personally have the opinion that Cambridge has actually done a lot and continues to do a lot. But we cannot house the world.
And also, will that housing house the teacher? Will that house the person that makes only $100,000?
I would say that the inclusionary units, and nobody's challenging the wisdom of the inclusionary units, those are a place where if you were a school teacher or
you could be,
you might have a shot at that.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it targets middle income people.
Well,
right.
So do the buying one. I mean, I remember looking at
buying or renting.
What was the one along Memorial Drive there that Harvard, not Squirrel, what's the name of it? An S. Right behind the electrical plant.
The Switch
there.
House?
Switch House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those were, I looked at that a while ago. They were like 188,000 you could get something. If you qual- all right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not peanuts, then.
But that's right.
So you could had a moderate income and be able to buy
that. I think the moderate income programs the city does are very, very, very thoughtful.
Plus, they had said then that, because someone asked, I went to one of these meetings, well, what if I get a windfall, or what if my job change, I make a lot more, that's fine, that's good for you. In other words, when you sell it, you cannot.
So you can't turn it into a big profit.
Although some counselors, I seem to remember, didn't like that. They felt like you should be able
to. Well, I mean, there was at least one who was living in one such unit who wouldn't have minded to make a little extra money.
All right, well, I don't know.
You know, I mean, that's the limited equity question.
Right, and I understand.
What's the, is the limitation what it should be?
Otherwise someone else is going to be able to live there. I mean, it's supposed to be continuing and not just...
Right. So
anyway.
Right. So it's a sort of set-aside housing stock.
And good for you if you make money.
That's
and then whatever.
So, anyway, this issue isn't really going away.
No, it's going to be
One of the orders at the city council meeting last night was basically... And I'm a little confused by it, quite honestly. But basically, there's all this big laundry list of recommendations... It came out of the Envision Cambridge working groups.
Oh, and that did get referred to each of the committees.
Right, but I look at them as saying, like, well, wait a minute, was that the idea? You have all these working groups who just come up with these big lists of things that they say,
we want this the most.
That's not what I thought Envision Cambridge was supposed to culminate with. I thought it was going to be a comprehensive report, a plan, a vision.
Like incorporating all of these different things.
Right, and all these various pieces
to blend them together.
Will be kind of, you know, thought holistically together.
Right.
So, but the council is sort of hot to trot. They went, quick, send this one to this committee.
To the House, send this one to economic development.
Right, and then they said, well, that's maybe because they think, I think Carlone said, Envision wants feedback from us. I said, okay, so that's what you want? So you're not actually... you're prioritizing, is this like one last shot to go back to Envision so that by December they come back with a report that integrates counselors' ideas? If that's true, then that's good. That's fine.
Yeah.
Right? I'm all for that, you know. But anyway, we're...
It's a lot of hearings.
But, you know, somebody was complaining about, well, we've got so difficult scheduling. And I looked at it and said, there's 3 months left in the year. There are a total of 5 city council committee hearings scheduled in a course of 3 months. I don't think that's such a heavy schedule. So if all of the council committees that have a piece of the action looking at these recommendations can meet a couple of times between now and the end of let's say mid-December, then do it. It's, you know, you guys
are
getting
paid. What was the mention about the ordinance taking
it's a job. You know what that is, folks? Yeah, no. It's a job.
No, I know.
Go to
that,
work.
But wait a minute. But somebody talked about that it should come before the ordinance. What was that about?
One aspect of Envision Cambridge, probably the biggest one, is that ultimately zoning legislation would have to be passed to effect some of the recommendations.
Right, and that would be an
right. Now, some of these are just budgetary recommendations. They don't necessarily need zoning. Quality of life things are maybe passing, they're not all zone. It's not all zoning, right? No. Some people think it's all zoning, but it's not all zoning.
Well, it seems to be predominantly housing.
Right.
I mean, I don't know about the economic.
But the thing is that the, so there's a lot of things with the economic development package. Mm-hmm. There are ideas to work with here. But the thing is that you can't do zoning just by snapping the fingers and do it. It has to go through a process with the ordinance committee. So the idea is, all these committees, they hash out things, and then they pass it along to the ordinance committee.
That makes
and
sense.
And then they start dealing with the zoning. Though I think the way it really would have to work is that somebody would have to propose specific zoning, and then that's what gets passed to the ordinance committee.
But shouldn't that all happen after the final report? I mean, fine to have the committee hearings, but then
in
the
my
final
view,
report, envision put, and then the city council has to deal with it.
That's how I think it would be. It would
I mean,
be better.
The whole thing.
Right.
But I could see having individual hearings,
I'm hopeful that when Envision Cambridge is finished, and I'm on the advisory committee, but I hope when it's finished that there'll be a nice, bound, good,
I'm sure for $3 million, isn't that what it is?
Right. I mean, I don't think it was always about have a bunch of meetings and have a bunch of brainstorming sessions.
There's going to be a big report, but...
Right. And the thing is, hopefully it has a narrative. See, that's what's missing is the narrative. Mm. Right. All you got now are lists. And to me,
ideas. You have
Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Man, we think this is a really good thing to do. But you need to have a narrative to sort of glue together. And as actually Councilor Carlone correctly pointed out, you know, you can talk about quality of life, mobility, blah 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 blah. I don't know that it's been a single word I've heard yet about infrastructure.
Yeah, that's true.
Whether we're talking roads or electrical infrastructure to support the economy of the future,
that bridge in Elwood,
or the resiliency aspect of infrastructure as well.
Well, where would that come under? Which committee would that be?
There was not a working group to look at that.
Quality of life, no.
And then by default, those things would have come
back
to the advisory.
Wasn't there an environmental or health and environment type thing? No.
Yeah, but you know the problem is that's become sort of pigeonholed now.
Yeah.
When we were getting into recycling stuff, environmentalism meant recycling, which was really silly, right?
No.
But that's what people were into then, right?
Right.
Then it became energy, and then it became this, and
waste reduction,
that, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, right now, climate change is sort of like the big thing, right? So, from my point of view, when I was looking at the recommendations that were coming out of that particular committee, it was all seemed to be gated toward that, you know? Mm. And that's good. I'm sure there are great recommendations in there, but there are plenty of things left out, you know? And certainly, I think I think I might have mentioned it last week. I don't remember. I was ranting or something.
Yeah.
The whole master plan business was kicked off because people were pissed off about traffic on Elwhyfrick Parkway.
Mm.
3 years later, Envision Cambridge reports comes back. Actually, 3 years plus comes back. I don't know that they're addressing anything on there.
I know.
You know? Now maybe it's something they can't do because it's regional pass through traffic and whatever.
Well, I could still address the whole quadrangle and the bridge and all that.
Well,
you can
have a recommendation to sort of start working more with the state and the DCR about
this. We still don't know. It could be in there.
Yeah, we'll see.
Except you're on the advisory committee.
Yeah, but
you would think you would know something.
But the advisory committee not that I was looking to have any great authority or anything, but if in many respects, it feels like we were just some sounding board for ideas that were already made by
Isn't that always what happens when someone hires people that are paid to do something and then the advisory is strictly advisory?
Right.
You have no clout.
I got no issue with the expertise of UTIL and the various partners with UTIL in this. I think they were really great, you know, but... you know, but they didn't have all the answers. And
but what about, you mentioned your participation, that you didn't feel there was enough, and that's been brought up a lot, that is, you, it really, you know, reaching? They've had a lot of meetings, but who's going to
okay,
those
so each of these working groups, yeah, as well as the advisory committee itself, the overall advisory committee, yeah, probably had in the neighborhood of about 20 people on each of, mm-hmm, them. So there's a lot of people involved in this process.
Yeah, but are they still involved?
Well, that's been, yeah, a problem. So what happens is even the advisory committee meetings, even though we have about 20, they're meetings when, yeah, we've had as few as 5.
The one
five.
I went to last week where they presented, there were like 4 of you from the advisory,
right, and
committee.
Right, and then here I am on the committee, yeah, and so I get to speak. So I, yeah, speak my mind and I say, and I'm, yeah, trying to be helpful. And then, you know, but if I'm saying something that somebody in the audience doesn't like, they sort of say, well, he's not representative. I go, you're right. You're absolutely right. I could, yeah, not possibly disagree.
Right.
But I am here, and, right, the other people didn't show up.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm not,
yeah,
going to shut up.
Right.
All right? So we sort of let more of the public sort of chime in.
Well, there was more public than, yeah, there than the members.
Then, yeah, and that's fine. You know, actually, I kind of thought when this whole thing kicked off, we have a lot more public people, public participation in these various meetings.
Mm.
It seemed like, you know, it was like pulling teeth to sometimes to sort of do,
well,
all this outreach.
It seemed like every,
they,
yeah,
did better outreach than any other public process I've seen.
Really?
But,
huh,
the thing is, you spread it out over 3 years. People,
yeah,
start losing interest.
I know.
And when
I know.
When you know, when you get down to the end game,
yeah,
when you really want everybody to sort of come together,
yeah,
and then people don't show up.
Know.
You know.
Now it's.
I mean, I'm not just trying to, you know, put a gold star on myself here, but, you know, in the housing working group and on the Envision Cambridge Advisory Group, I'm the only one who made it to every meeting.
Was there anything in any of this around education?
Only under, there was sort of, they know we're going to use the word quality
schools
of life, but there was,
yeah,
one, there was some discussion, but not
to
a
me,
lot, honestly.
That's a big part.
I don't think it was a lot, right? Mm-hmm. But, so maybe they kind of felt it was a little bit out of their expertise as well. So, but,
I don't know.
But
where
it,
schools
but,
get built, where
but
they attract.
It belongs in the narrative, right? So,
yeah,
you know, many people have pointed. I think,
yeah,
people, when they were filing lawsuits about what was going on down in North Point, they were saying, you're building this all for this, that, and the other.
Oh,
but if you want to build a neighborhood,
no,
you're not building,
yeah,
any schools.
Yeah.
And I heard this exact same criticism,
yeah,
up
in
north
Alewife.
Of, yeah, the Alewife,
yeah,
Quadrangle. And I said, well, I think they have a point. I mean, should,
except
you be...
Except isn't Tobin getting a whole... that's on the next,
well,
line.
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
so,
yeah. I mean, I understand their point, but I would, mm-hmm, look at it and say, you know, Tobin's not that far away. And,
and especially if they expanded into,
yeah,
it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, but the point is that it deserves to be part of the conversation, part of the narrative,
mm-hmm,
when all is said and done. So,
yeah.
So...
All right, we have a few minutes left. What are we going to
actually
cover here?
One thing I think is worth doing. Let's go
jump
down,
yeah,
to some of the Central
Square
stuff here.
Oh, yeah, let's do something fun. Yeah, all right.
Okay, so we talked some while ago about the impending murals in Central Square. All right.
We don't want to show the budget.
Yeah, skip them. All right, but, okay, so so actually, let's go back to Massimo here just a little bit here, and then we'll just sort of, here we,
yep,
go. All right. So one of the things, I just put something up on Facebook, so I recreated here a little bit with a little extra, just called it the changing face of Central Square. So,
yep,
that's a picture taken just a few days ago, really, of the Mass and Main building, which is really starting to look pretty substantial. I think they're up to maybe 15.
How many stories will it be?
About 19 total. So
really?
I think they're pushing up on into the 16th story now, right?
So,
yeah. Okay.
It's about 13
right
here.
So anyway, it's happening, you know, and,
yeah,
and it looks imposing right now, but at,
mm-hmm,
some point they'll put the skin around it and it'll start to look like a building rather than a,
mm-hmm,
Tinker Toy set. But it's kind of interesting. So let's,
yeah,
scroll down a little bit more here.
Okay,
now, we
the
talked about the murals. Now,
the Central Square Mural Project,
right,
which you can donate to. You should go to the Central Square Business Association. I'll,
yeah,
get more information.
So I got to see some of the designs, not all of the,
mm-hmm,
designs, but for some of the murals. And I was really worried because I was concerned that we would be mediocre. I didn't want to do the same old refrigerator art,
mm,
scale type of stuff. So I saw this one here, and the moment I saw the image on a just a photographic image of what's planned,
mm,
I said, that's great. So on Saturday, they had the crane up there, and it was the guy. Actually, if you scroll down a little more, you'll,
yeah,
actually see him right in here. So can here's you refresh our us?
This is where the
this is where the Sims.
I call it Sims, but it
was SYMS, right? Yeah. So that got painted over. Wonderful. And then and then they're applying this here with a beautiful face. There's a zebra, and there's more to come. It's actually not finished. So let's just sort of wander down a little bit more here. So this is just a few different shots, different views. So he's doing a lot of this just with a regular spray can.
So it's one person. Is he the artist?
He's the artist, yeah. Oh. Now, so I don't know whether it's the same person who's putting it up because he's working from a photograph.
Oh, so this is where he is, yeah.
But this is the kind of how they had to do it. You can see the big crane.
So are they going to get rid of this part? Is this going to stay on? This fat
I am going to ask Morris to please take that off because, you know, but that's not part of the plan.
It's not part
of it. Let's go down a little more here.
Okay.
So anyway, so this is a close-up of our hero applying.
Do you know his name?
I have it, but I don't know it off the top of my head. But there he is. He's got the photo in his left hand, and he's got the spray can in the other, and he's basically making it happen.
Jeez.
And it's continuing. And here we are. I think
this is almost done, no?
Right. So this is, I think, on Sunday I came by, and you can see here now it's filled out to the left. But it's not done. There's still more to come down at the lower section. Oh,
and also maybe where the zebra is.
Yeah, and off to the right
and
here.
And off to the right.
So I'm sure the crane will be up, and we got a little ways to go here.
There won't be words.
I hope it's, we really
keep the words to the minimum. I mean, if you saw the photo, there's no words in this?
I don't think so on this one, but I don't remember 100%. I want no words. Honestly, I want to see just beauty. I want everything to be stunning.
Yeah, okay.
I want it just to be fabulous. So.
Very nice. Yeah, so it looks like this has to get done up here.
Yeah, so there's definitely some is happening here. So.
Nice.
So anyway, it's happening.
That's nice.
And if you go over on Green Street right now, there's one of those small little cranes because it's only like a tree story.
This is the one by the library.
It's actually on Green Street around the corner. They're going to do the front of the library as well. But now there's
a
very interesting mural is planned for there. Mm. They've got the apparatus to go up and put it on. And that'll be spread. It only takes a few days to do some of these. So I'm looking for it. I go by every day and to see if there's any activity there. But it was a little rainy today, so it wasn't going to happen.
But yeah, definitely go.
Be on the lookout.
They are raising money for this. So
support it. You know, I'm pretty good with what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, no, it's very nice.
Definitely.
So next week we'll be off next week because it's a holiday on Monday.
So happy Indigenous Columbus Day, etc.
All right. Yeah.
See you then.
Bye.